Every now and then, I like to mix up our service just a little bit with a testimony. And the testimony you're going to hear from my friend and our brother Ben is a God story. And so Ben, come share with us. I first met Ben and his wife some months back. They come here and I just want to tell Ben who I was. And then Ben told me who he was, who he used to be, and who he is today in Jesus. And I thought to myself, that story needs to be told. It's a God story, a story of God's love and transforming power available to every one of us. Lord bless you, brother.
I gave my testimony in the first service. It's not getting any easier. I don't know why God picks certain people for certain things, and I cannot even begin to tell you how blessed I feel to be the guy standing here at this time in this place to be able to share my testimony with you. And everybody has a testimony. Everybody has a story. Everybody came from somewhere. But God loves each and every one of us, whether we believe in Him or not. Thank God He believed in me. I ran from God for 34 years. I'm 46 years old now. That's about 11 and a half years of knowing the Lord. I look back and I think I had no fear of God. I had no fear. I had no desire to know Him. And if anybody ever asked me, I always said, well, I'm a Christian. It was my trump card. When I got to the pearly gates, if God said, why should I let you in? I'll say, hey, remember that time? Those few times I said I was a Christian, so I thought I'd get myself in that way. All the while knowing that I didn't care for Him or even think about Him. Now there isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about who God is and what He's done. My testimony is a testament to myself more than anyone that what God can do to someone who hates Him. And There's a passage that talks about, and I was trying to find it here, but it talks about how much God will turn sin on itself and use it for His own glory. And He's done that in so many ways and so many depths in my life. Even I saw how God's hand was moving and directing everything that happened in my life, even when I hated Him. Even when I spit in His face. I'm going to bring you to 2001, and that's where a two-week wrestle with God happened with me. And to me, it was earth-shattering. To me, this two-week period, I went in and out of hating God, wanting God, hating God, wanting God. It was through a Bible that was placed in a drawer in a hotel room that God got a hold of me. And when I was to the end of myself, I remembered there was a Bible in that drawer, and I peeled it out. And those Gideon Bibles are so nice. At the very beginning of the Bible, you can just go through the list of sins and just check out where you fall. So needless to say, I had a lot of reading to do. And I don't want to take your time up with how much God means to me or how much God's done for me, but I want to get inside your life with this testimony and say, how much can you relate to what I was going through? That 2 week period, I wanted to commit suicide. I'm working on the road. I'll tell you this much. I work on the road. I work for a power company, and I spend a lot of time gone. And I work with a rough bunch of guys, and they spend a lot of time in bars, and they spend a lot of time on the road. Some of these guys are gone for months at a time. And I'm sure there's some people here that can relate to that. But these lives that these guys live are rough and tumble. And I was a young man when I got into this trade, and it seemed to me that this was the way to go. And this was we had each other's backs. These were our comrades. These were the guys that we looked to for help. And we were a close-knit bunch. But now I'm sitting in this hotel room, and I'm wrestling with God, and what's God going to do with me if I tell him no? And what are these guys going to do at work if I tell God yes? And most of all, what am I going to do if eternity, if I don't come to God? If I tell him no at this point, I really felt God was telling me he was done with me. And for that two-week period, I didn't sleep and I didn't eat. If I slept for 5 minutes, I was lucky. And I'd found myself going in and out of the shower, pacing back and forth in this hotel room. But every time I came to the window and looked out, there was a big sign out there. Jesus Christ is Lord of Pipestone, Minnesota. And that's the town I was in that day, those weeks. And so when I finally got to the point where I couldn't stand myself any longer, I walked into the church. It was the middle of the afternoon. I wasn't working. I was just staying there paying my room. And I was too depressed to even go to work. So I was not getting paid, but I was paying for a hotel room to sit there. And when I walked into that church, I just basically knocked the doors down, and I went stumbling in, and I wanted to talk to the guy in charge. I wanted to talk to the pastor. There he was in a study, and he had books all over his desk, and he just sat back, and he said, "What can I do for you?" I just stood there at the door. He said, "Come and sit down." And I sat down, and I told him my story. I bet you it took me an hour to tell him everything, and it wasn't even everything. And I looked up at him, and I had been crying. And I said, "And I don't know how God could forgive me for who I've been." And then he opened up his Bible, and he spun it around, and he said, "Read that." And it said, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you." And there began a new journey, a journey with God. A journey with my wife in a marriage that now was really blessed by God. And I wanted nothing more than for my children to know who God is and for their children's children. The legacy of that, what an awesome thing. And that's my prayer for each and every one of you. I had no fear of God. Now I do. The fear of the Lord. And I could go on, and I'm sure many people could. But I just want to leave you with this, that now is the day of salvation. Remember your Creator while young. It's never too late, but the blessings that mount from a young age, getting to know your Creator, cannot be even, kind of price cannot be put on that. So thank you for letting me speak. I just want to close in prayer. I just thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for your patience. I thank you for your understanding. I thank you that you put up with me each and every day, and that you still do. I break your heart every day. My hope and my prayer is, Lord, that I will shed more and more of that and become less and less of the old man and more like the new. Lord, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for this body of believers here. I thank you that each and every one of us is put here for a reason at a specific time. And I thank you that we are here for this specific reason and for this specific time here to know who you are and to worship you. So thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for what you did at the cross. Thank you for what you did this day as you walked into Jerusalem and knowing where you were going, knowing that you did it, that you were going to die. But like Pastor Jim said, you'd have done it for just one. So thank you for who you are. I praise you, Lord, and may my lips sing your praises all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The way my voice is, I'd just as soon he took the whole time. And when you get to know Ben and Jerron and their children, you'll know that his story is a lot longer. And you'll know that it's a story of rescue. It's a story of redemption and transformation. Thank you, Ben. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. If you have one, and if you don't, let us know. We'll give you one. We'll give you a Bible. Because we want you to read it. Ben was telling the earlier service that he's wore out the Bible he's got. And when you look at the duct tape and stuff on it, you know he means what he says. It's wore out because he spent time in it. We need to spend time in the Word of God, friends. If we're ever going to know God and His will, we need to know His Word. Amen? We need to spend time in His Word if we're ever going to know who He is. And so I hope you've got your Bible this morning. And like I said, I mean it. If you don't have one, we got one for you. We keep a case around here just for you. Because we want you to have one. We want you to read it. Now we could talk about the triumphal entry today because that's what this day is about, right? Palm Sunday. Work with me here. It's not that late yet. Give me one of these. Today's Palm Sunday, right? Okay. And we could talk about that. And we could read about that in Luke 19:28-39, because that's what Luke spells out in those verses. But I'm going to pick it up at verse 41. And we're going to go through 44. Because you've already seen in your bulletin the title of today's message, Why Did He Weep? Friday night, we're going to talk about why did they kill him? And so I'm going to pick it up in Luke 19, beginning at verse 41. Here's what it says. Now as he drew near, Luke is writing about Jesus. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. Two other places in Scripture, one in Matthew and one in Luke 13, we see the broken heart of Jesus as he wept over Jerusalem. It's a really simple analogy. Both Matthew and Luke use it. It goes like this. Jesus in Luke 13:34, he's lamenting over Jerusalem and he's saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. If you've ever lived on a farm, you know that's reality. She'll start clucking and she'll start bringing them in. She wants to get them under the protection from her wings. And Jesus was saying the same thing. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you. And you can read about that account in Matthew or Luke. And both of them, he concludes with these tragic words, but you would not. And so here we are again. He's down to his last week on earth. He knows that. He knows he was born in a Bethlehem and manger for one reason, and that's the cross on Golgotha. He knows that. He's down to the last week. And the Bible says, and as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially in your day, the things that make for your peace. If you would have realized, he's saying, oh, people of God, that were known as people of God in Jerusalem, that is known in the city of God, and Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem, and he's saying, if you would have known the things that make for your peace. But now, Ben alluded to this. He felt this way. God had beckoned him. He beckoned him. Ben, come. And Ben kept rejecting. And Ben got to this point where he thought, he's not going to keep calling me. He's going to say, fine, Ben, have it your way. And Jesus said the same thing here about Jerusalem. If you had known the things that make for your peace. But now they're hidden. Now they're going to be hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you. They will surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. He's simply talking about the time 69 and 70 AD when the Roman general Titus marched into Jerusalem and leveled it. That's what Jesus is talking about right here. And I don't know, because you read different accounts of how many Jews died that day, but Josephus said 1.1 million Jews died during that time. That's what Jesus is talking about. And he was weeping over Jerusalem that day simply because they didn't recognize the time of their visitation. They didn't recognize Christ for who he was. Did you know? Did you know that around the Passover event each year, for several years in a row, Herod Antipas would ride into Jerusalem during or around the Passover feast? You remember Herod, right? He was around then, and so Pilate, well, I don't want to deal with him. Let Herod deal with him. And Herod looks at him and sends him back to Pilate. That Herod. Each year around Passover, Herod would make this grandiose entrance into Jerusalem from the eastern gate. He would come with guards. He would come with Roman soldiers. And he'd be on this war horse. And there'd be this big to-do because here comes Herod. And he would come with the notion, don't you forget, you miserable little Jews, who's in charge here? He would come into Jerusalem that way. That actually happened every year for several years in a row. But on this day, on the other side of town, another king came through a gate. Another king came through the western gate. We call it the triumphal entry. And he didn't come with soldiers, and he didn't come with guards, and he didn't come with force. He wasn't going to force anybody, but he came to invite people to know the peace that really will last. And around these events, the Bible says, and now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. Why did he weep? Because he knew the cross was this week? Why did he weep? Because he knew of the cruelty, the flogging, pulling his beard out by the handfuls. You know what, friends? He knew all that was coming, but that's not why he's weeping. He was weeping because his people rejected him as a nation. He was weeping because, as he said here, you didn't know the time of your visitation. He was weeping because for 3 years he had walked among them in and out of Jerusalem and Galilee and Capernaum and crossed the sea and back over and over and over. And he had done miracles. He had given sight to the blind. He had set the captives free. He had healed the lepers and he raised the dead and he preached the good news just like he said he would, just like Isaiah prophesied. He did all of that for 3 years and he didn't do it in secret. And he knows at this point it's over. His 3 years on life is all but over. And this city has rejected him. His people have rejected him. The Pharisees headed up that charge. They said, you know what? I know all about God, but I know nothing about you. His people rejected him, and he wept over Jerusalem that day. We come together on Palm Sunday, and we wave Hosanna, we shout Hosanna and wave palm branches, and that's fine. We've got rejoicing in our spirit because he did enter in triumphantly, but he wept over Jerusalem that day because his people missed him. They missed who he was. They didn't get it. And sometimes we're just like it. We say, yeah, but I know about God. Yeah, but I go to church once in a while. Yeah, but. And we don't know Jesus. We missed it. We get just like the Pharisees sometimes. In our head, we might believe in God, but in our heart, we don't know him at all. That's what Ben was telling us. And sometimes we're the same way as the Pharisees. We think we got all the answers. We think we got all this God stuff going on. And we don't know Jesus at all. That's exactly why he wept that day. His own people missed him. And brothers and sisters, there's people missed him by the billions all over today too. Some of them sitting in church houses, thinking that my church attendance is good enough. My name on the membership roll is good enough. Thinking whatever we're thinking. And we're missing Jesus. He wept over Jerusalem that day, brothers and sisters, because of exactly what he said here. You didn't know the time of your visitation. You missed me. I came to earth to redeem humanity. I come to set the captives free. I come to free the Israelite people, the nation of Israel, and the Gentiles alike, and you've missed it. No, not everybody, of course. Some people trusted him. Some people knew he was who he said he was. But by and large, the nation and the city missed who he was. And I just wonder today, friends, how many times have we had the chance to see and know Jesus and missed it? How many times has the Holy Spirit of God pricked our conscience? And Ben could have told you, his had been pricked a few times. But it was easier to walk with the world. It was easier to do what the boys said. Let's do it. Ben said, let's do it. How many times has the Holy Spirit of God pricked your conscience and reminded you God loves you? He would have sent his son just for you to that cross, and we just dismiss it. How many times have we missed our visitation and said, well, I got a few years to go yet, Jim, or God, or preacher, or whoever has told me, and I'm just going to go ahead and live with the world a little while. How many times have we missed it when he's come to us and said, I love you, come unto me? We're still missing him. We're still missing him. No, not every person in every church in every place, but by and large, humanity is still missing Jesus. They had the chance and they didn't take it. They didn't recognize their need for Him. And the adversary is seeing to it that people today don't recognize their need for Him either. Remember what I said in our spiritual warfare journey a little while ago? Paul wrote about the god of this age, that's the devil, has blinded the eyes and the minds of those who have not been enlightened. We think we got it all together. But if we've never repented of our sin, recognize we're a sinner who needs a Savior, and Jesus is the only one, friends, the god of this age is still blinding our eyes. He's still blinding our mind. We're just like the Pharisees that say, we don't need you, Jesus. We got God. Jesus said in John 14:6, remember we just talked about that 2 weeks ago, nobody comes to the Father but through me. And so we can argue and we can rationalize like the Pharisees all day long. But if we don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, friends, we're not ready to die and go to heaven. That's why He came. Yes, we celebrate Christmas. Yes, we celebrate the manger. Yes, we celebrate this wonderful day. We shout hosannas, but He came to die so that we might live. And by and large, we're missing it. And I just want to ask you today, friends, please, don't miss it any longer. You might have been in church your whole life. You might have been have your name on a membership roll. You might have even been baptized somewhere along the line. But if you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord for you, repented of sin, and come to the throne of God and say, I need you, Lord. I know you died for me and I need you. Friends, it's time. It's time. A person in our church this week was a breath away from eternity. He was bound for eternity. We're one breath from eternity, friends. You're not here today by accident. God loves you. Jesus would have went to the cross for only you, for only me. And if you've never recognized Him as Lord of your life, if you've never been at that point in your life that you realize, as the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you've never been to that point to recognize, I am a sinner who needs a Savior, friends, today's the day. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to glory. He's the only way to eternity with God the Father. He died on that cross so that we might live. Don't miss it. Don't go through this life as successful or unsuccessful as you may be and miss who Jesus really is. He is Savior for you. And so while we're singing this last song, please, if God is speaking to your heart today, come pray with Pastor Isaac. He'll be up front here. And you say, well, I'm embarrassed. This is the first time I've been here. Or I'm embarrassed. I've been in church for 50 years and everybody thinks I'm a Christian. Don't listen to that voice. That's from the adversary. If the voice of God is speaking to you today and say, I love you, come to me. If He's beckoning you, come follow me. Then come pray with Pastor Isaac today. Revelation 3:20 said, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He is knocking on somebody's heart's door today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, Jesus said, and fellowship with him and he with me. You got to open up the door. Don't miss Jesus. Eternity depends upon your decision about Jesus.